say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody ought to say
hallelujah.
Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to stand until your will. Your will now. Yes, please. Put your hands together and give our choir praise. God is good. It's early. It's early. And I tell you, Tracy.
Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus.
It's early in the morning.
Yes.
You really hit those notes.
Say it.
Yes. I'm telling you.
Hallelujah, God.
I'm going to stand still.
Hallelujah.
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 God is
hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Hey, glory. Thank glory.
You.
Glory.
Just to stand and do nothing. He wants us to be active while he directs us. Amen? So, if you have your Bibles, I want you to stand on your feet, and we're going to read the scriptures once it comes on the screen, and then I'm going to give you what God gave me. I will read the first verse, and we'll alternate. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And there was a widow in that town that kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." Yet, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting things off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on this earth? Let us pray. Father God, we come before you. First of all, just thanking you because you're God and recognizing that you're God. Father, we ask, we've already asked that you send your Holy Spirit, and I know that all of us walked in here with a measure of it in us. Father, now hide me behind the cross and let the people see you and what you want to say to them. Father, let us give you glory. Help us to give you glory. I'm just a weak vessel, but you are mighty and strong and powerful. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You may take your seats. And most of you know I'm a manuscript preacher. But every now and then I'll get off the manuscript. Amen? I want to ask you a question. Have you ever asked yourself why your prayers are not answered? Well, during this sermon, I hope to answer that question. But first, let me tell you this. Satan hates, despises, and targets the children of God who knows how to persevere in prayer. He targets those who know how to talk to the Father, trust the Father, believe what the Father says, and claims the promises of God. Satan hates all of us who persist in prayer because he knows godly living is a struggle for those who fail to pray. The adversary does not want us to live the victorious godly life. How many in here agree with me on that? Let me get into the text and explain the text to you. In our text, Jesus tells his disciples a parable. And you might say, what is a parable? A parable is literally something cast alongside something else. Jesus' parables were stories that were cast alongside a truth in order to illustrate a truth. Jesus uses a parable as a teaching tool. It is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The purpose of the parable was to encourage his disciples to persevere in prayer with faith against all odds. But this parable also has another purpose. It speaks to those who work in positions of leadership. However, the contrast of the corrupt judge with a just God implies that God's will is at work even in a corrupt world. If you are faithful in your life, God will, let me say this again, God will grant you favor in spite of unjust leaders and people around you. Amen? This is a story of a poor widow and a crooked judge. The widow in this text is symbolic of the innocent and the hopeless in our society. This poor widow could be you, it could be you, it could be you, it could be you, and it could be me. Amen? The poor widow could be any of us. She had no money to bribe the unscrupulous judge and no power to bully him. She was weak and she could have died in self-pity, discouragement, and despair. In her distress, she could have given up and even fallen into sin herself, but this woman had persistence. She badgered the unjust judge day by day. The Greek word says the judge took a beating. Amen? From her. And finally, she wore him down. In my imagination, and I won't say sanctified imagination, but in my imagination, I can just see the unjust judge with black and blue marks and bags under his eyes from this woman repeatedly pounding him. I believe like Muhammad Ali, she floated like a butterfly and she stung like a bee. Amen? The judge's job was to do justice, and by God, by the time this widow finished with him, he did do justice. really wanted to get rid of her. Have you ever been around people something like that? You want an answer from them? You go to them for an answer. I know. I see your heads going like this. All of us have been in that situation one time or another. And they keep putting you off and putting you off and putting you off. Well, you need to give them a 1-2 punch. Amen? I can imagine every time he looked up, she was in his face. And that's how some of us need to be in our prayer life. Tenacious. The people in the town had probably started talking and asking, why won't the judge give her justice? When you are truly after something from God, everybody knows your request. When people see you coming, they know what this sister is going to pray for. Every Wednesday morning at 6 a.m., we have a prayer service. We have a sister who's always praying for the children in her school. We know before this sister starts talking exactly what she's going to ask us to do. Amen? She's been coming for years, and she always asks us, pray for the children. This is how we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to be tenacious about it. But let me talk about the unjust judge. Our text says two times, and when something is repeated, it's important in the Bible. It says, in a certain town, there was a judge who did not fear God nor care what people thought. Now, he was ruthless. When you don't fear God and certainly don't care what you think. In those days, a judge sat at the gates of the city to dispense justice at the good pleasure of the Lord. Deuteronomy established a two-tier justice system. The higher justice system was done by the Leviticus priests. The lower tier consists of local judges. These judges convened in the available space where usually they sat at the gate. They were instructed to judge fairly and justly, but with no reference to any collections of laws or written or unwritten. They were supposed to be the voice of reason at the gate. In other words, they were to judge by customs, common sense, and fairness. It was supposed to be God's justice dispensed at the local city level. However, this judge was self-righteous, arrogant, and full of spiritual pride. Do we know anybody like that? Arrogant, self-righteous, and full of spiritual pride. And I say spiritual pride because he was operating in God's kingdom with the wrong spirit. He was anything but fair and just or God-fearing. He was working in the kingdom and acting like an atheist, a non-believer, a idolater, a pagan, simply put, a heathen. My mother told me when I was younger, in order to get me to go to church, she says, only a heathen don't go to church. I didn't know what heathen meant. But the way she said it, she said, a heathen. I didn't want to be a heathen. Amen? So I got my little happy self up and I went to church. Amen? But now that I'm older and I'm going to church, and I'm in the kingdom, I have run into some
heathens.
Amen? Some heathens. Amen. Isaiah 10 says, woe to the unjust judge and to those who issue unfair laws, says the Lord, so that there is no justice for the poor, the widow, and the orphan. Yes, it's true that unjust judges even rob the widows and the fatherless children. Deuteronomy tells me that a judge must not be partial in judgment. Moses said, you shall, and I'm quote, you shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not be intimidated by anyone, for judgment is God's. Amen? How many know that judgment is God's? The unjust judge's treatment of this woman was not based on what is morally right and fair. He was driven by prejudice, bias, unfairness, and his own personal feelings. Every one of us who's sitting in here today, at one time or another, has had an experience with an unjust judge. Amen? No one's exempt. You may think that has never happened to me, but trust me, you have. Many of us, like the widow, have gone to our leaders for justice. And when I say leaders, I'm pointing forward, but there's three or four fingers pointing back at me. Amen? But the Bible tells us some leaders don't care about God's law and care less about you, beloved. Many care more about their appearance in the community. Spiritually dead folk who render decisions based on their own pride, arrogance, and private agendas are usually egotistical, self-absorbed, and more concerned with control.
Right.
Am I preaching to anybody? Some of us have tried to get bank loans, decent houses, the best education for our kids, affordable health care, a promotion, and simply sit at the boardroom table, women. And we have been denied because of our ethnicity, gender, age, family background, economic status, you name it, they got something to tell you why you can't do it. Amen.
Amen.
Beloved, in this political climate, unjust actions can be deadly. Recently, a 17-year-old self-appointed judge entered a Florida school with a semi-automatic assault weapon and rendered judgment on 17 innocent victims. This was not justice. When our children, beloved, leave in the mornings, they need more than fine clothes, big houses, comfortable communities, cars, bikes, and best school. They need prayer, and they need to see us praying over them. Amen? That's what they need. We all need a fervent and constant prayer because all of us have an adversary to overcome. But I do have some good news. I always like to tell the good news. I know a man. I know a man, and I can go to him, and he will grant all my requests, and he will give me peace. He gives me justice. He handles my troubles. And he does, only time he looks down on me, Sister Betty, is when he's going to bless me. Amen? Does anybody know a man? Do anybody know someone that he can go to? And he will. Yes, he will. Bless you. He will bless you. What's his name?
Jesus.
What is prayer with persistence? And that was the title of my sermon, Prayer with Persistence. When you pray and you think it's happening, keep on praying. Pray without ceasing, with a humble heart. Be alert. Don't quit. Don't give in. Don't turn in. Don't turn it off. To persist means I don't stop praying. I keep on and on and on until I get an answer. I remember I was praying for a tremendous burden in my life. And I prayed and prayed. And I was thinking, God, nothing's happening. I started to get off my knees. And I heard God say, not yet. Not yet. And I went back down on my knees. And I start praying again. And I was praying, and I don't know how long I was down there. But when I came up off my knees, I knew God was going to send me an answer. And that was over 7 or 8 years ago. And what has happened to other people have not happened in my life. Amen? But this isn't what most of us do. Sometimes people ask us to pray for them. You know, people say, pray for me. And we say, oh, I'm going to pray for you, baby. Then 2 or 3 days later, they have forgotten about you. Well, Satan sometimes get into it. He likes to distract us. We have great intentions. We have good intentions, but Satan, he wants to distract us. And sometimes and other times when we're trying to pray, Satan will make you sleepy. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Get down on my knees. And I find myself waking up. Because he don't want us to pray. He doesn't want us to pray. A preacher once told me a story about an old woman. I'm not good at telling stories again, but this story touched me. The preacher said, I think it was on the West Coast, this woman, old woman, kept coming to the prayer service. And every time she came to the prayer service, she would say, Father, bring my boy home. She didn't say send him home, because that would mean that he might have been in a box. She said, Father, bring my boy home. So what she just kept on praying and praying and praying. And one day she had a 16-hour job duty. And she came home and she was tired. You know how it is when you're tired. So she got down, she figured she'd give God a quick prayer. And she went to bed. And in the middle of the night, something woke her up. Said, get up, pray. So she got up, she got on her knees, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed. And then she got back in bed because she was tired. And then something woke her up again and said, get up. And she got up, and she started praying. This time she was praying so fervently that tears was running down her eyes. And she saw her hand had started to cup. And tears were falling, and she was just praying and crying, not knowing why, but praying and crying. And when she finally got up and went back to bed, it was a knock at the door. She got up and went to the door, and she said, who is it? And a voice said, Mom, it's me. So she was in disbelief. She went back to bed, and there came another. And she went back to the door, and she opened the door. She was so glad to see her son, so happy. She started fixing him something to eat. And then he had this strange look on his face. And she said, baby, what's wrong? He said, Mama, I don't want to tell you this because I don't want to upset you. This reminds me of my children. They don't want to tell me stuff because they don't want to upset me. But then that makes me want to know even more. So he said, Mama, when we were crossing the Atlantic, the right engine of the plane went down. And he said, I could swear I saw cupped hands holding that plane up until the engine kicked in again. She said, hallelujah, now I know why God got me out of that bed to pray. Hallelujah, somebody. God will. He will. Oh, yes, he will. He will answer. Does anybody know that God will answer prayer? He will. I know what the Lord can do. He will answer your prayer. Yes, he will. God is a good God. He said the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous avail much. I believe God's delay to us is to test our motives. He wants you to be sure your purposes are pure. How many of us have prayed and then ask ourselves, is this what I really wanted or needed? God wants to know how sincere you are for what you're asking for. And it could be he has something better in store for you if you just wait on him. Amen. I believe he's looking for a humble, sincere heart. Beloved, there's power in prayer. I have the audacity to believe that God will bless me if I stay in his face. I like Jacob, who wrestled with God all night long until the daybreak. He said, I'm not going to let you go. Oh, hallelujah, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And he changed Jacob's name from trickster to God prevails. We need God to prevail in our lives. We need God's power. I heard a saying that little prayer, little power. A little bit more, and I'm sure I'm not getting it right. A little bit more power. But much prayer is much power. How many believe that when you pray, God will, he will show up. He will give you what you need if you are persistent. A child of God should persist in prayer for power in his life and for godliness. We need all the prayer that we can get in these times. These are terrible political times. People are angry and they don't even know why they're angry. We need power. How many know that we need persistent prayer? Prayer that will heal our bodies. Some of us are sitting here with all kinds of aches and pains, but we need prayer. Somebody say, I need prayer. Persistent prayer. Prayer to heal your body. Prayer to bring your children home. Prayer to get that job. Prayer to keep your marriage together. Prayer to learn how to walk right, talk right, walk upright. How many know that Jesus is the answer? How many know that Jesus, yes, he is. He is the answer. How many know that Jesus is the answer? If you know Jesus is the answer, give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise. If he's done anything for you, give the Lord a praise. If he's healed your body, give the Lord a praise. If he sent you a husband, girl, give the Lord a praise. Because he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. And I got a God. When I go to him, I know I don't care what anybody have to say about what I do and how I do it. I love the Lord. He's heard my cry. I'll praise him. I'll praise him in the morning. I'll praise him in the evening. I'll praise him till the sun goes down. Because I got a God who will show up. Show up. Show up on time. If you want alone, if you want your children to come home, if you want sickness out of your body, you want a better life, just go on your knees and pray to Jesus. He will show up on time. Prayer works, beloved. I know prayer works. If there's anyone here that want to know the God that I know, if there's anyone here who does not know God in the pardoning of their sins, while I was preaching, I heard my little grandbaby back there talking about grandma. My family standing in the back. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for family. Amen. They will support you. Amen. If there's anyone here, the doors of the church are open. You can come for salvation.
You don't have to worry.
And don't you be afraid.
You can come don't you be
for restoration.
Afraid.
Joy comes in the morning.
Joy comes in the morning.
Troubles, they don't last.
Just to be covered. Troubles, they don't last always.
While you're away from home.
Friend. For there's a friend in
come.
Jesus.
Who will wipe your tears away.
Who will wipe your tears away.
if your heart is broken.
And if your heart is broken,
just lift those hands and say.
Just lift your hands and say.
Oh, I know.
Oh, I know that I can make it.
Hallelujah. Yeah. I know that I can stand.
I know that I can stand.
No matter what.
No matter what.
May come
may
my
come
way.
My way.
I know my life. With Jesus,
I
can take it. With him, I know I can stand.
With him, I know I can stand.
No matter what.
No matter what.
May come
my way.
I know my life.
My life is in your hands.
You may have a seat.
So when
your tests and trials,
they seem to get you down.
They seem to get you down.
And all your friends and loved ones.
All your friends and loved ones.
They're nowhere to be found.
They're nowhere to
be found. Oh, remember, there's a friend.
A friend in Jesus.
Who will wipe your tears away.
Will wipe your tears away.
So Shiloh, if your heart is broken.
Your heart
come on, just lift those hands and say,
just lift.